And we have opportunity tonight to open up the pages of God's holy word and to get a sense of the glory of God through the pages of his perfect and inerrant word. So if you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17 tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I want to read the whole chapter for context. You may remain seated for this. And then after I read the chapter, I want to focus in on one statement. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we read under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit this account of David going against the great giant Goliath. And the Bible says in verse 1, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shokah, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Shokah and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and his weight, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. The names of his 3 sons that went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and the next unto him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest follow Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, and saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor. And as he essayed to go, for he had not proved it, and David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, and David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And there are certain statements in Scripture that seem to be cherished more deeply than others throughout the centuries in the hearts of God's people. Likewise, there are certain individuals in Scripture that inspire and challenge us to walk before the Lord with a holy boldness, a fervent zeal, and a deep love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and particularly verse 29, we are confronted with a statement uttered by a man after God's own heart, a statement that has inspired many of God's children throughout the years to awake out of their cold-heartedness and to worship and serve the Lord with a renewed spirit and passion. And the words are found here in verse 29. It's the response of David to his eldest brother, Eliab. He says, "Is there not a cause?" A young shepherd boy utters these powerful words in the midst of mighty warriors who were cowards consumed with fear. And from this one statement, this one question in verse 29, I want to encourage us tonight with three truths from David's life. And I pray that these truths will be a great encouragement to us as we look back at the last 50 years of God's faithfulness at Westside Baptist Church, and as we look forward to what God is going to do in the next 50 years. And so I want you, from the pages of God's Word, to consider first David's foremost concern. David's foremost concern. Is there not a cause? David utters these words after seeing and hearing a giant named Goliath from the armies of the Philistines defy the armies of the living God. David utters these words after being deeply troubled within his soul by the lack of faith in the hearts of his brothers and nation. And we see in David's humble yet bold response to his older brother Eliab that David was greatly concerned, not for his own name, not for the name of his nation, but for the name of his God. And David was greatly concerned for the reputation of God's holy and righteous name upon earth. Hear David's holy zeal. Hear his passion as he glares into the eyes of his brother and in the eyes of his nation, the eyes of his fathers, if you will, spiritually. And he says, "Is there not a cause?" Hear how passionately concerned he was that God's name would be magnified. And we see here in this phrase that David's foremost concern was not for the physical well-being of his family. David's foremost concern was not for the reputation of Israel as a nation. David's foremost concern was not to be something great for God. David's foremost concern was for the name of God that was being slandered and nobody was doing anything about it. We might ask ourselves tonight, what was it that put a fire within David's heart and soul for the glory of God? How did David become so passionate for the Lord's name that he would with great boldness challenge the foolishness of an entire army of Israel? And we might answer this, David was passionately concerned for the glory of God because his heart was consumed with the God of glory. David was passionately concerned for the glory of God because his heart was consumed with the God of glory. The fear of God was constantly upon the heart of David. David communed with God on a daily basis. David desired nothing more than to walk before God with a holy and a pure heart. David desired that all that his life's testimony would speak in the ears of others, that it would be pleasing in the sight of the Lord. And so we know that David's passion for the glory of God came out of his relationship with the God of glory. And truly, David's concern for God's glory ought to be the foremost concern of all true believers. All those who have experienced the new birth through the Spirit, all those who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, of the Lord Jesus Christ, ought to be foremost concerned with the glory of God. Is God being honored in my life? Is God being honored in the life of my family? Is God being honored in the life of the church that I attend? Is God being honored in my state and in my nation? This ought to be the preeminent desire of the believer. And if you're here tonight and you say, "Well, I can care less if God's name is magnified. I can care less if God's name is hallowed, revered, or glorified. Let me tell you this, you have a serious spiritual problem. And it may be that you are not born again. When somebody uses the name of the Lord in vain, you can care less. It doesn't bother you. When somebody dishonors the word of God or speaks ill about the things of God, and there's no smoting in your spirit, it may be that the Spirit of God is not within you. Because all true believers, all true Christians, have a desire within their heart and soul to see God glorified. Let me tell you this, church family, as we look and as we celebrate 50 years here of God's faithfulness at Westside Baptist Church, I declare to you for 50 years here in this place, God has raised up a people who were preeminently concerned, not with their own name, not in the name of their pastor, but in the name of their holy and righteous God. Amen. And like David, they have said, is there not a cause? And they have counted the cost, and they have sacrificed their money and their time and their family and to press forward to the work of the Lord. And as we look forward to the next 50 years of ministry through this local church, may I exhort you tonight to do all to the glory of God and to remember Paul's exhortation in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. I do have to tell you this, that many pastors and churches today have failed and are failing because they are preeminently concerned with making a name for themselves. Like those at the Tower of Babel, they are concerned not with God's name and God's glory and God's honor, but they are concerned with their glory and with their honor and their name being known in all the earth. And if we are to be a church that's blessed of the Lord, if we are to know the blessing of the Lord in the days to come, we must be a people who cry out, let our name perish, and let the name of God be magnified and glorified. Is there not a cause? Not only are we confronted with David's foremost concern for the glory of God in verse 29, but we also see, secondly, David's firm confidence. David's firm confidence. Is there not a cause? This is not a statement of one who is weak in faith. This is a statement made by one who is confident in the Lord. It is the cry of one who is trusting in the Lord with all of his heart, who's not leaning on his own understanding, but that in all of his ways, he's acknowledging God because God has promised to direct his path. And in this exclamation of David, he is like the one who has described Abraham in Romans chapter 4, who is not staggering at the promises of God through unbelief, but is strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God has promised, he is able to perform. Amen. It's the cry of a man who says that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. With God, all things are possible. Look at verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Does David turn away? Does David weep with tears, having a pity party and consumed with his unwillingness to fight? Does he allow this opposition to overcome him and run back home to his father and tell him how he was ill-treated by the elders of Israel? No, David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. See David's faith. See David's firm confidence in verse 37. David said, moreover, the Lord, the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. Do you see David's firm confidence? Do you see that David's confidence was not in his sling? David's confidence was not in his stone. And David's confidence was not in the ability to put his stone in the sling and to sling it in the right direction. No, David's confidence was in the Lord. Amen. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the bear. I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. This day will the Lord deliver me. All this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. This is the source of David's confidence. It's not in himself. It's not in his abilities. It's not even in the tools that he is using. His confidence is in the Lord. We also see not only the source of David's confidence, but the steadfastness of David's confidence through opposition. And oh, how David was opposed of men. But he did not allow the opposition of men to shake his confidence in the Lord. Eliab, his older brother, questioned his motives. Saul, the king of Israel, doubted David's abilities. The Philistines, the enemies of Israel, belittled David's capabilities. Goliath, the giant of the Philistines, cursed David's name. Nevertheless, David persevered in faith, understanding that the battle is the Lord's. Church family, we face a great enemy. We are up against a fierce dragon who hates us. We are against a roaring lion who is seeking to devour us. He is the accuser of the brethren. He is a crafty deceiver, the god of this world. Yet Scripture declares that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. If you and I are to know the blessing of God in future days, we must have complete confidence, not in ourselves, not in our abilities, but in the Lord. And church family, let me ask you this, and this is truly seen in our prayer life. Consider where David was before he came to the battle, before he even stepped out by faith and uttered these words of confidence in the Lord. He was faithfully tending to his sheep. And consider the time alone that he had with his God. Consider the time alone that he had to pray and pour his heart out to the God of Israel. And how God revealed himself to David through the pages of Scripture. And if you and I are to do great things for the Lord, we must be with the Lord. And I can't remember the quote exactly, but that was a quote of Leonard Ravenhill, that we must be much with God if we are to do much for God. Amen. David dwelt much with the Lord, and his confidence was in the Lord. And I need to tell you today that there are many churches, there are many godly and good men who say that their confidence and that their faith is in the Lord, but really it is in personalities, it's in buildings, hip music to draw the crowds, entertainment, videos, and you have a great website and you have a wonderful blog, but let our confidence be in nothing more than in the Lord and the power of His might. If we are to see great victories in future days, we must persevere in faith, though the oppositions will come our way. You may be opposed by family members. You may be opposed by friends. You may be opposed by other Christians in the fight of the Lord, but Christ will never fail you. You lean on Him. We are confronted in this passage of Scripture, number one, with David's foremost concern, it was the glory of God. Secondly, David's firm confidence in the Lord. Thirdly, I want you to see David's faithful conqueror. Amen. Is there not a cause? As we read this account in Scripture, we come to understand from the moment David utters these words until he takes Goliath's sword and cuts his head off, that David is not the champion of the day. Did you catch that? For those of you who grew up in a Sunday school class or junior church, and you have heard it heralded that David is the hero of this story, I'm here to crush that in 1,000 pieces. David is not the hero of the story. God is. Some commentators and most preachers make David the hero of the account, but he is not. David is only an instrument in the hands of the mighty God. It was never David's intention to even go to Goliath. He was simply obeying the will of his father.
Amen.
He was simply doing what's right. And as he is confronted with the need of the hour, as he is confronted with the fearfulness of his brothers and with the Israelites, this holy, fervent zeal of God strikes his heart and he cries out, "Do something." And David leans upon the power and might of his God and gets a great victory. But it's not David. It's not David's victory, but it's the Lord's victory. And I can assure you today that if David was before us, if he was behind this pulpit, he would tell you this. It was God who sovereignly led me to the battle. It was God who gave me the faith to pursue the giant, even through numerous opposition. It was God who controlled my hands when I sent the stone flying in the air. It was God who allowed the stone to gild Goliath. And it was God who caused the Philistines to flee. And likewise, church family, if we could pull up member after member of Westside Baptist Church in the last 50 years, if we could take them just for a brief moment from the throne of grace, and now which they are enjoying the presence of God forever, and if we could place them before you tonight, we would see that their testimony would be the same. They would tell you this, church family, here in 2016, as you look back, understand this. It was God who protected us from 1,000 evils that were sent across our path. It was God who provided financially. It was God who transformed lives, healed families, and mended relationships. It was God's Spirit that held us up through difficult times. It was God's Word that comforted us, gave us courage and strength to press forward. Boldly, David declares, "Is there not a cause?" Because he knew that God is a faithful conqueror. And Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, "The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." David knew his God, and he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And that's step one, church family. As we move forward, we must pursue God if we want to be used of him.
Amen.
It's all about him. Was that not the testimony we heard tonight? He must increase, we must decrease. We must have the cry of the psalmist, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." And so I want to conclude this short, simple message by turning to you this evening and asking you the question, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause, soldier of Christ, to fight for truth and to live wholly for the Lord Jesus Christ, to forsake the pleasures of this life and to walk before the Lord in holiness and humility? Is there not a cause, parents, to live a godly example before your children and to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Is there not a cause, children, to honor your parents and to live for God in the day of your youth? Is there not a cause, church family, to strive with every fiber of your being to know Christ and to make him known in this lost and dying world? Listen, the faith of one man affected the whole nation. The faith of one Christian can affect an entire church. The faith of one church can affect an entire community for Christ. Will it be you? Will you make the glory of God in this place your chief concern? Will you continue to trust God and in his power alone? Will you look to him as your faithful conqueror in the days ahead? God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. If God be for us, who can be against us? The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, in things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? So that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Beloved church family, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I look through the time of church history. I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged by the testimony of an Amy Carmichael, a Jim Elliott, George Mueller, Hudson Taylor, George Whitfield, Charles Spurgeon, John Bunyan, George Mueller. But let me tell you this, not one of these men or women sought to be something great for God. They were just faithful. They were faithful to the Lord each and every day. And God's providence, God's sovereignty, through their faithfulness, allowed the stone of the gospel to be hurled at this world. And they made a big impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I recall the testimony of a Baptist missionary, William Carey, who we know as the father of modern missions. And he had developed a heart for the people of India. And at a minister's meeting in 1786, Carey raised the question of whether it is the duty of all Christians to spread the gospel throughout the world. To which one replied, "Young man, sit down. When God pleases to convert the heathen, he will do it without you and without me." But William Carey couldn't take that response. William Carey had a heart for God. William Carey was convinced by Holy Scripture that we are to be in the business of fishing for men and to preaching the gospel to all of the world. And so before he was to leave to India, he preached a message, and the points of his message was this: expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. William Carey is a great hero of the faith today. If you read his biography, you will see that he never sought to be great in the eyes of men. Oh, the oppositions that he went through. Oh, the discouragement. The death of his wife. The death of his children. The perseverance. How God upheld him. But it's the spirit of David. It's the spirit of Christ residing in one, William Carey, who cries out, "Is there not a cause? Is Christ not worthy? Will we not stand before his face one day and give an account of the life that he has given to us?" Church family, expect great things from God. But don't just sit on your hands and do nothing. Then attempt great things for God. For is there not a cause?